Praise the name of the Lord. Good morning. I want to welcome you to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to just remind each and every one of you that it's well worth it for you to put God as a priority in your life. Amen. I want you to know that God Himself is honoring even your efforts today to get up and to come out and join in faith and be in the presence of God. You know, the Bible says that when we gather together, the Lord's presence comes immediately amidst us. Amen. And I want you to know that there's refreshing, strengthening, and the goodness of God touching our life this morning. And I want you to know something, that we as believers have a lot to be thankful for. I'm telling you. And even as the days unfold and as we see the world, the thing is that I thank God that we have made the decision to make Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so this morning we're going to worship and we're just going to be in the presence of God and He's going to touch our lives today. God bless you.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
This faith are never enough. But you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Jesus, nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. And you still call me friend, 'cause the God of the mountain, woo, is the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Jesus. nothing is better than you.
There's nothing better, Lord.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Jesus. Nothing.
Come on.
Nothing is better than you.
Falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. And my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. Victory, I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. He wages, he will win. Sing that again, there's power. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will. Come on, declare, I'm not backing down. Oh, I'm not backing down from any giant. 'Cause I know how this story is. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Come on, let's declare this morning. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Come on.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take
what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Sing that again.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Sing that again.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory.
Come on, encourage yourself in the Lord like David did this morning.
Belongs to you,
I'm gonna
Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see
your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see your victory.
Let's declare it as a voice this morning.
We're gonna see that victory.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
You have broken every curse. Faithful, you are. children and their children.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah. I guess I'm there worshiping and just resting in the presence of God with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. It's good to see all you guys and good to have you here. And we want to welcome those that are live streaming. Before I go further, is there anybody here who maybe has went to the doctor or just needs prayer this morning, or you have someone that you want us to pray for? Anybody here that has a request for somebody who's sick or needs healing? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead. Huh? Okay. Amen. So you haven't went to get it checked out and you're just, okay. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, now Lord, right now, God, this sudden impact injury, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to just turn it around, Father. We loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into this knee, Father, for total restoration, and God, to remove all pain and discomfort and have it come back to full function. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have somebody else that I'll just pray for from here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the procedures for Chad, Father, I thank you that your hand of divine healing will be upon every part of the process, Father. Lord, I thank you that you've done already amazing things, but total restoration will be upon him, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, we serve a great God that is desiring to be a part of every part of our day. Amen. And this time I am remembering you, not even having to remind me or wave your envelopes at me. I am remembering right away that we want the opportunity to sow our seeds. Amen. And so I'm going to read to you out of the scriptures according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read to you, and we're going to bring the offering buckets up so that we can give offering. And I forgot, didn't I, that I need to release the children to go to children's church. Praise God. Hallelujah. We were talking in that first service. I don't know if they're running out of here so fast because they want to be filled with faith, or they're running out of here because they get to get filled with a snack. I don't know which one it is, but I'm believing that it's because Pastor Jarrett's wisdom and profound impact in them is what they're in pursuit of. And I will tell you what, I thank God that I see our children moving in faith. Yes. I got to tell you, over the last couple weeks, it was interesting because I had children from Children's Church coming to me and asking me to pray for people. I had one little girl come and say, Pastor Phil, can you pray for my grandpa? And then I had another little boy came and he said, hey, can you pray for my friend that hurt himself at school? They were playing somewhere, and he said, can you come and pray for my friend who's hurt himself? So I thank God that we are putting faith in our children now. Amen? Because it will benefit them throughout their life. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And what I want to concentrate on, a couple points here, is that number one, the Bible says that those who sow sparingly shall reap sparingly, and those who sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. And what that means is that not just in the arena of finances that we're talking about, But I want you to know something. The Bible says that if you're going to have a friend, show yourself friendly. So let's make sure that as Christians, when it comes to grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, kindness one to another, we want to make sure that we are a bountiful sower in those areas. Amen? And then what else is critical here is the Lord says, for everyone that purposes in their heart. And I want you to know something. We have to purposefully in our heart release our faith, believe God, and do things with a purposeful attitude. And then it says, be cheerful in what we do. In other words, let's do it not out of fear, not out of religious obligation, but let's make sure that what we do is done out of faith, love, and the joy of serving our God and knowing how faithful he's been to us. Amen? I tell you what, every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can look back at times where we have to say over the years, our God has been faithful to us. Amen? And he will continue to be faithful to each and every one of us, okay? So this morning I'm going to pray, and then we're going to bring our offerings to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that God, as we sow, bountifully and not sparingly, Father, you said, prove you and you will open up the windows of heaven, God. Father, I thank you, Father, that I have seen you, God, in every area of life, Father. Personally, God, when it comes to missions, when it comes to other people's lives, Father, I have seen you without fail give us the opportunity to have something to do with the kingdom and for you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that you increase us all and you touch our lives, that we would have sufficiency in everything as we walk in our faith walk with you, God. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
Be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children.
Hallelujah. So I want to tell you that as far as we can see, things are on track for our building transition. Now, what's important for us is that I want you to make sure you're praying this week, because we already had an inspection that bumped into this week that was hoping to take place last week, and we need this inspection to happen so it doesn't delay the next inspection. So we believe that God is going to help us in this area, and that we are going to have this thing transition just the way it's supposed to. So August 1st, which is a Saturday at 10 o'clock, huh? Yeah. At 10 o'clock, we would like as many people to meet us here as possible, and we're just going to move some stuff over and do some cleaning. And at the new building, we need to get some things in order, and it's exciting. And then we're going to look forward to the 16th of August being our first service in our new building. And we believe that God is going to make all that happen, and it's exciting for us. Amen. So just keep that up in prayer and be ready to move. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I tell you what, God is being faithful to us. Amen. And I will tell you that when you are faithful, he's faithful. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, so this week, I'm going to go ahead and probably finish out, which has been about a 3 or 4 part series on faith, which all started a few weeks ago when the Lord asked the question in Luke 18:8, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And the very fact that the Lord asked that question lets each and every one of us know that if God is asking that question, that lets us know why it's called the fight of faith. It's called the fight of faith because the devil and the world will resist your faith. And if we're not careful, sometimes as Christians, we will fight against faith ourselves. Amen? And so we need to make sure that when the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? Well, the answer to that is yes, absolutely he will. He's going to return and he's going to find faith. And what our prayer is that each one of us, if the Lord would return tomorrow, that we'd be found accounted as those who have faith. Amen? And so we want to keep our faith stirred and our faith charging forward. And I just want to remind each and every one of us that the very fact that we're asked that question and the very fact that it says it's a fight of faith lets us know that we have to safeguard what's been given to us. Amen? I want you to know something, that this right here lets us know that while we walk out our life of faith, that there are times where distractions, disappointments, things are going to conclude in a way we didn't like them. We're also going to, at times, find ourselves in the middle of great adversities. Remember, the Lord says that our faith needs to be founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, so that when the storms of this life come and beat vehemently against us, we are still founded to be right here serving God. Amen? I want you to know that the Bible says in Hebrews 6, verses 2, 3, and 4 through there, it says that what we need to understand as one of the foundational doctrines and one of the foundational principles of the journey of Christianity is that we must have faith towards God. What does it mean, Pastor Phil, to have faith towards God? What it means is that once we determine that we are people of faith and that we are Christians, God's way goes above every other way that we would think or do. Amen? I want you to know something, that the very fact that the Bible says that we need to have faith towards God requires of us to be a people that says what the Word of God says is what I live by. Amen? And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, let me see. I got to get up here and get to my scripture reference. In the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And I want you to know, what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is God's right way of doing things. And it is for us to be found in right standing with God on a day-to-day basis. Amen? I mean, if we want the favor and the grace to be upon us, we have got to be people that find ourselves standing on the right side of God, or standing in the right way that God expects us to do things. Amen? So here we see that the just shall live by faith. And first of all, I want to remind you, what does it mean to be just? Remember, Romans says this, that we are called. What does that mean to be called? It means that the Bible says we didn't choose God. He chose us. The Bible says that we love God because he first loved us. Amen? And then when we look at that, what it means to be called is that God must call us into salvation. Amen? The Bible says that no man can cometh unto the Father except for the Father calls him. So the first thing I want to say to you Christians is right now, the very fact that salvation is in your heart is a confirmation to you that God loves you, that you are approved of God, and that God is with you in this journey called life. And then it says that we are called and then we are glorified. What does it mean to be glorified? That means that when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Phil, what it means is that immediately we are made new creatures. We come alive to God. And all of a sudden, we start knowing life in a way that we couldn't know it before. The Bible says that I will come and give you life and life more abundantly. And what it means is that the Lord infuses us with the Spirit of the Lord, with a supernatural life, and we can have an experience of life that we could not have before. That is a part of us being the just who shall live by faith. But what does it really mean to be the just? It means that after we're called and glorified, we are justified. This is where the goodness comes upon us as humanity. To be justified means that we can never forget that the precious blood has washed us clean. We can never forget that right now, every one of us at times get in battles with ourselves about what we've done and what we've done wrong. And I want you to know that right now, what it means to be justified is that whether you like it or not, you have been forgiven, you have been washed clean, your sins are white as snow, and you are sitting here saved, filled with God, and no more condemned. Amen? I want you to know that to be justified in God means that the cleansing blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow, and our sins are no more. See, sometimes we can limit ourselves because we want to mention our past and we want to be guilty over the sins and the wrongs we did. But what's powerful is that if you went to God with your past and tried to bring it up, he wouldn't even know what you were talking about. Because he's washed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that you have been redeemed. And what that means is that if I have been washed clean, then I am a son or daughter of God. I'm a king and a priest. And it also means that if I am forgiven and if I'm his child and I have an inheritance from him, it means that now I have a right to live this life from a place of no condemnation, a place of faith, and a place of believing that God's with us for our future. Amen? And I tell you what, that it means that on a day-to-day basis, we're going to follow God. And I tell you what, we're going to see God do the miraculous on our side and do good things on our side because we follow him by faith. Amen? And it means that if I am going to live by faith, I'm going to do things God's way. Now, I'm going to remind you of a story in the Bible where there was a supernatural miracle, but it wasn't a good thing. Because I don't know if you remember the story of Jonah and the whale, but I'm going to remind you of that story this morning. And I'm going to tell you that all of us, we like to talk about the whale and how he was in the belly for 3 days and how it was supernatural that he survived and that he came out of that belly, and it is all supernatural. But I want to tell you that as a Christian, you never want to have the miracle Jonah had for the reason Jonah needed the miracle. Amen? I tell you what, I thank God. Woo! Now, what I'm telling you is I thank God that when we do wrong, when we go the wrong direction, when we rebel against God, I am glad that he will rescue us and he will save us like he did Jonah. But I'd much rather just do things in the right way, because if you don't know it, the very reason Jonah ended up in the belly of the whale is because he rebelled against the will of God. I want you to know something. God asked Jonah to go and preach the gospel to some people, and Jonah obviously had an attitude or an offense towards them. Because the Lord said, Jonah, I want you to go here and share the gospel. And Jonah said, God, I ain't going to talk to them ungodly people about you, because the minute I do, they are going to repent, and your mercy and grace is so good that instead of holding them accountable for the wrong they've done, you will forgive them. Oh my. Uh-oh. See, a part of being the just that live by faith, we realize that vengeance no longer belongs to us. Uh-oh. But vengeance belongs to the Lord, and we have to trust God's rightful judgment and grace in everybody's life. Amen? But here's what's so powerful. Jonah had known God so well that he knew the goodness of God was that even when people do wrong, even when people rebel, if the gospel's preached and they're willing to receive Jesus and repent, he's going to save them. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what's so powerful about that is that for each of us who are saved and doing our best on a day-to-day basis to live for God and do our best to live for God, if Jonah knew that God would be willing to save people that were in open rebellion and living in opposition of him, what we should have confidence about as Christians is how much more is God on your side when you're giving him your best efforts on a day-to-day basis. See, now all of a sudden, if it was me and I read the story of Jonah and the whale, the thing that would come to my heart is, wow, now I can be bold and confident in my prayers towards God, which is biblical. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive mercy in your time of need. But I'm telling you that if I read the story of Jonah and the whale and I really got the revelation of what Jonah had and I knew that God would preach to people and if they repented, he would immediately give them mercy and grace, then what I want you to know as a believer, as a just one that's living by faith and doing your best on a day-to-day basis, you can have confidence in God's love for you, and you should have confidence over your future. Amen? I want to remind each and every one of us that there are scriptures in the Bible that should be holding on to us and transforming us, and we should keep them no matter what the battles of life are. See, like the scripture that says, greater is he that's in us than he who's in the world. The scripture that says, I will always cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that the just that live by faith must get these things ingrained upon them, because every day of your life is not going to be easy. Every day of your life is not just going to go easy flow. And you have got to remember that the Lord says all things work together for the good of those who love God according to his purpose. You've also got to remember, like in Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. No thoughts of evil, only thoughts of good to bring you to an expected outcome. Because I got to tell you that sometimes on a day-to-day basis in life, you're going to have struggles, you're going to have situations, you're going to have battles come your way, you're going to have circumstances come that you never thought you were going to ever have to face. And at those moments, you have got to see clear enough to shake yourself and be founded on that rock, that no matter how much storms in life beat against you, you find yourself saying, nope, one thing I won't do is move off of my faith. You know, in fact, when we think about Jonah and him preaching to these people that were living so far from God that Jonah wanted them judged, first of all, I won't make you raise your hand, but we might have to repent every now and then. Because we've probably had people that give us difficulty, and I don't know, maybe we've been a person that says, Lord, I hope they get what they get. Oh, we can never be like that. The other thing I want you to know is that on this journey, if we're being honest with ourselves, there has been a time or two in our life where the pressure gets so deep that we're like, that's it. I don't know what else to do. I give up. I quit. That's it. It's too much. I've waited too long. I've been believing now for this amount of time, and I've seen nothing. But what's so powerful about the goodness of God is that right after we have said those proclamations, there's a still, quiet nudging out of the mercy and the grace of God. And before you know it, we've all come to that point where we say, even though this has been a terrible experience, and even though this has been difficult, I can't give up. I cannot quit. I cannot let go of my faith. And I thank God that we are people that can stand firm on our faith no matter what's, because that's what the just does. I want you to know something, that the Bible says this, that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And every person must press into it. Amen? And what that means is that if you're going to be the just that lives by faith, and I know you guys think I'm peculiar and strange, but the truth is, whether you like it or not, you're peculiar and strange too. Now, I know that I might wear mine a little more openly. I know that it might be a little easier to see how peculiar and strange I am. But every one of us that are called to the kingdom, we are a peculiar, unique people. And if we're going to live by faith, we're going to look strange to some people. Because the just that live by faith are people that believe in the supernatural of God, no matter what they see with their eyes. Amen? I want you to know something, that if you're going to see things God's way, and if you're going to be one of the just that live by faith, what it really means is, for an example, is guess what? Now, you no longer have a right to hate your enemies. You no longer have a right to go find your enemy and give him a little 1, 2, 3. You no longer have a right to think evil about your enemy or want to see them come into a bad place. You no longer have that right. Because the Lord says that the Christian, the one who lives by faith, they're going to pray for their enemies. Now, what I want you to know is that I'm telling you, if I was you, I'd make a list. I think I ought to do this. But I ought to call my enemies and tell them, hey, Bubba, the first thing you want to do is you want to become my friend. Buddy, you better start treating me nice, because guess what? I can't take vengeance on you anymore. All I can do is pray for you. But here's the problem. If you're going to be an enemy to me, then guess what? God is going to take up my side. Amen? And I tell you what, you don't want to be an enemy of Phil Walker and face the wrath of my father. Amen. Hallelujah. So I tell you what, I might just go home and call those people that declare that they don't like me and tell them, hey, I'm telling you, you need to start liking me. Amen. Hallelujah. But no, I do want you to understand something, though. This is how critical it is for you as a believer to understand something. That once the Bible declares it, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to your natural brain or not. It doesn't matter if it feels good to your natural emotions. Once God declares it, we need to see it His way. Because that is how we live by faith. I want you to know something. You can go to the doctor and receive a report from the doctor that is not good. And you can look right at him and say, doctor, I hear what you're saying, but I tell you what, the Lord's going to heal me. Well, you don't understand. No. Listen, I have seen things fall at the feet of Jesus, whether it be cancer, whether it be HIV, whether it be drug addictions. I have seen things fall at the name of Jesus that people tried to tell me would be impossible for a person to get free from. Whew, I want you to know that God says from faith to faith, the just will live by faith. What that means to each and every one of us is that you can grow from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And I want you to know something, that the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? And what that means is that your faith has the right to be exercised and to grow. I want you to know something. You have a right, and really, to be honest with you, for every believer, it's almost an obligation that you should use your faith and expect your faith to grow. Remember at one scripture, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And another time, Paul the apostle was preaching to a church, and he told them, hey, I have come amongst you, and today I have a desire to give you meat, but I cannot, because when you should be able to handle meat, all you can do is handle milk. And you know what? That responsibility was on them. Why? Because the Bible says study to show yourself approved. So the Bible is there for you to grab a hold of, use your faith, live by faith, exercise your faith, and see outcomes that God can bring to you. See, I want you to know something, that a part of your faith ought to get to the point where you are trusting God with your life, no matter what's going on around you. I want you to know that even the news reports on TV and all this other stuff, that stuff may be going haywire, but in the middle of that, you should be at peace. You should know that God's hand is on your life. You should know that God is keeping you. You should know that God is providing for you. You should know that no matter what is out there, you, as a person of faith, are living under a realm of grace and favor whereby God will always determine your outcome. See, that's how the just live by faith. We have a confidence that no matter what's going on around us, there is something unique, supernatural, and good about God's hand being upon us. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. And I want to go to this book of Hebrews for a minute because there's a few words. Oh, yeah, we got to spend a few minutes here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I want to read something to you in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 36. It says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I want to remind you, as the just that live by faith, that we have need of patience." What does that mean? That means that while you're on the journey of faith, everything might not work out in your timing. While you're on the journey of faith, you're going to have things that you're believing God for. And I tell you what, they may not happen as fast as you want them to happen. Now, I want you to know that this scripture says you have need of patience, but it also comes with an answer. It says you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And what that means is what God has promised you is going to come to pass. Another scripture says, "Don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not." I know that we don't like it, but sometimes when you release a seed of faith today, there is something called seed time in harvest. And whether you like it or not, there might be some time in between what you've prayed for and for the result you've seen. Now, I thank God that sometimes things happen expedient and things can happen supernaturally in a moment of time, and we're going to believe God. I want you to know something, that when I release a prayer, I believe by faith that it's always answered right now. But I will also tell you that when I release something by faith, just because it didn't happen in the moment I declared it, I don't back up from what I believe. Why? Because I know that even if he tarries, him who will come will come. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is with you. He saved you. He loved you. And he's with you. And he's going to bring things to pass in your life. It says, "Yet for a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." And here's something that I really want us to grab a hold of. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." You know, I thank God that when these scriptures are clear, there's a measure of God's grace in every word that he writes. See, he says, we're not of those who turn back to perdition. And what that means is that there are going to be moments where your faith is challenged. I mean, you might come to the end of yourself and say, "I can't take it no more. This is too much." But then we got to remember the scripture that the Lord says he will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. And we've got to come to ourselves and make sure that even when the faith battle has gotten to the point where we might be discouraged, we might even shed tears sometimes in our disappointment, our frustration, our fears, our worries. But what is most important is that we're not those that draw back. We might have a moment, but we're going to shake ourselves and we're going to hold on to our profession of faith. Because that's how the just that live by faith operate. And I love our God so much because every time we read the Bible where people have come to the end of themselves, there was a time where King David and his men thought they had done everything they could, and they come home to their households and it didn't get better, it got worse. Their wives were stolen and their houses was burnt. And I know that there's been times where as Christians, we've thought that situations have gotten so bad we couldn't take anymore. David and his men begin to weep. And they cried, and the Bible says that they cried so hard they had no more capacity to cry tears. But at the end of that, David had one of those moments where God drawled him back in, and he went to seek the Lord. And what happened was God said, David, not only shall you pursue, but you will overtake. And you will recover all. And I'm telling you, the word to the just that live by faith is that God sees when we've been through the hard times. He sees when we've been through the good times. But his word to us without fail is that he knows the thoughts he has towards us. Good thoughts, not of evil, to bring us to an expected outcome. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that each one of us are the just that live by faith. And I want to challenge you that as you have found the Lord, don't you ever back up. Don't you ever let go. And no matter what life throws you, keep your heart in prayer. Keep your heart open to him, because the turnaround moment of God is out in front of us. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory. God, we exalt you. We declare your goodness, Father. We lift you up and give you praise, God. And Lord, I know that the people here in the church service today have made the commitment to serve you, God, to be saved. But Father, I even speak to those who are being live streamed today that if you have not given your heart to the Lord, or if you're backslidden, right now in this moment, just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Save me. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, God, and I want to be saved. I want to be your son or your daughter, God, and I want to live for you. Jonah knew it was just that easy, that people would declare it and that God's mercy would fall upon them. And God, I thank you, God, that in any situation at all, God, where we have been struggling with our faith or where we've been discouraged, Lord, I thank you that at this moment, as we say, Lord, help us, that immediately, Father, your mercy and grace is moving on behalf of your people. And Lord, I just thank you that you are putting your strength and your goodness in our life. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I have a prayer request. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for your healing on Haley, Father. Lord, that you just keep moving her through every necessary process, God, and every procedure, Father. And Lord, that those things will take place and be done, God. And we thank you for Harry, God, that he's on the road to recovery from from COVID, Father. And Lord, I thank you that he's going to move completely out of these facilities through rehab and on to the complete healing place. And Lord, right now I pray for Nikki, God. Lord, that supernaturally, God, you would touch, heal, and finish the work that needs to be done in her, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that, God, you are the God that sends forth the gifts of healing. You are the God that does the working of miracles. And you are the God that brings us back to wholeness, God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. We'll give the Lord a hand clap. Hey. God bless each and every one of you. We love you. We thank you for being here. And make sure that we are saying hello and being kind one to another. And just release your faith, because people need your touch on their life. Amen? People need your encouragement. They need your words. And just be blessed, okay? Now, I'll be here to pray for anybody that needs prayer. And God bless you. Thank you. And we'll see you on Thursday.